Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Mother-Daughter Bonding Network, a place where mothers and daughters come to nurture their relationships. How is your mother-daughter relationship? If you're not living your best mother and daughter relationship, welcome to the show. Questions? Call 347-539-5078. Now, here's your host, Reverend Dr. Bessie Fletcher. Or you can just call her Dr. Bessie.
Morning. Let me do that again. Good morning. And happy Saturday to all the mothers and daughters out there, fathers and sons, completing the family. I just want to say thank you very much, Lord, for another day, another opportunity to get up and share the word that God has placed in on our hearts this morning. It's amazing that He's so gracious and so dependable and so loving and kind. He's gentle with us, even though sometimes when you look at the world, you think we deserve the wrath to fall upon us. Everybody is trying to figure this thing out in their own way, and some of us missing the mark, some hitting it, and we all miss the mark at some point in time. Nobody's perfect in on their journey. We trial and we error. We repent. We're forgiven. And then we keep moving. We trial, we error, we repent, we're forgiven. We keep moving. We trial and we error. We repent. We're forgiven and we keep moving. And that's going to be the basis of your journey as you head back to the Father from which you came. So don't beat yourself up. If you made a mistake yesterday, this morning, last night, last week, let it go. Repent. Ask God to forgive you and apologize. He said when you repent, He forgives you and then He forgets about it. So what you have to do is model your mind and your thoughts behind that of Jesus. Be quick to forgive yourself. There's no need for you to beat yourself up when the sin doesn't exist anymore. It really doesn't exist. That's just the enemy trying to speak the past into your present. And if you're not careful, you'll pull it from the past, something that doesn't exist. It's a fragment of your imagination, and bring it to your future or your present, and it appears real. False evidence appearing real. That's what the lie is. So, again, welcome. Thank you for joining us today. Let me see. Our co-host this morning, we have Deborah Tyler with us. I think Cynthia is not with us today. She's working. She may jump on. I'm not sure. Good morning, Deborah.
Good morning. Good morning. Good morning. How's everybody?
How are you? I'm good. Can't complain at all. As okay. folks say, I'm okay. glad to be here.
Amen. Me too. Amen.
Yeah. So how was your week? I saw some text where you had a group and you all was in Tallahassee. Tell us a little bit
yes.
about that.
FRRC stands for Florida Right Restoration Coalition, and what they do is advocate for the people of Florida, mostly the disenfranchised people as returning citizens. And what that means is people that have been to prison or jail, they got felonies and can't vote or lost some rights as a citizen. So we go up and rally to talk to the legislators and, you know, tell them my concerns. Say, hey, now that Amendment 4 has passed and we can vote, so now we want to come up and compromise. You want to stay in office, and we want something for the people, you know, to make the people be able to live a better life and not be in and out the system. Like jobs, for example, we're good enough to work in now for 15 cents an hour doing a job, get out and look for the same employee to hire us in that same capacity, but you say we got a felon. But you knew that when you were sending your jobs to prison to get done. And so that's just one of the things. It's just one of the things. And, you know, gang time and, you know, different. We had about 7 bills that we were rallying for. And so we got a chance to speak to our local representatives in Tallahassee and see if they support our polls. And so we would, you know, be mindful when we go to the polls which way to go. So in our favor, then we, you know, why are we going to keep blessing you? In other words, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So it was a beautiful trip, really, really was. And I'm just still trying to, you know, I had the energy trying to rejuvenate. So thank God for that safe journey up and back and the time all well spent while we were there.
Mm-hmm. And we pray right now, Father God, that the intent of the mission is accomplished in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Yeah, that's a good thing. So let me, I heard something that you just said, and I just want to clarify because I'm not really sure if I understood. So you're saying the law has passed that if you have a felon, you can now vote?
In 2020, Amendment 4 passed the bill, yes. All you got to do if you owe fines and fees, take care of that, and you can register to get your voting rights back. Because the problem was you had felonies and they ostracized us from the polls, from the right to vote. Now we have the right to vote. Only certain, just say if it's a violent crime, this is murder, manslaughter, there's a couple exemptions that don't apply. So for the most part, just say 85% of the people that have other charges, those 85% can register to vote if their obligations such as fines and fees is cleared up. So we have funds for that from the organization that they've been paying the fine and the fees of the individuals so they can vote. That was the last barrier, was the fine and the fees. So We got money for that, and so yes, you can vote now. Yes,
that is awesome.
1.4 million people in the state of Florida was affected by that before. Now, after, not as many because, like I said, everybody don't have a violent crime. So it depends on what your charge is. You could get your fine and fees paid if you owe, and you could register to be a voter and get your voting rights.
That's awesome.
So, yeah. So the last election, they were already registered. Most of the people were already registered and they participated probably in their first voting season.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's awesome. You know, it's so amazing. I really could never understand why the system was set up the way that it was, because, you know, they say once you've been convicted of a crime, you can never be convicted of that crime again. So that says what? That you paid your debt to society and nobody can come against you again on that same crime. But yet when you come out, you know, you done paid your debt. And then all of a sudden, you're still paying your debt. You can't vote.
Mm-hmm.
There's certain things that you can't do. All rights and liberties should be reinstated the day you walk out of that prison or that jail, because what? You've already paid the debt. How are you going to pay a debt and still owe the debt?
Exactly.
So, you know, that's another soapbox that we can get on. But I am so glad and so proud of you for being a part of that mission, because I know God chose you to be the leader or one of the leaders in that lane in order to help people to understand the process as you learn the process. And I was listening to you quoting the statues and things to that nature, and I'm thinking, wow, go ahead, Deborah. So impressive. And you're teaching others. And that's a blessing right there, because you're helping someone else to grow into the person that God intended them to be. So, you know, I take my hat off to you, Deborah, for doing that. And then an audience, and an audience for those who don't know Deborah, let me tell you, she is who she says she is. She's the person that is always a woman to her word and there for people, or bend over backwards to help somebody. So we really and truly are blessed, you know, to have you a part of this journey, because God certainly used you to help bless mothers and daughters around the world as well. So I'm grateful and just proud of you from where you came, from the distance and where you are now. You know, if you was to leave here today, I believe I could hear God saying, well done, my good and faithful servant. Well done. Because you're definitely putting everything you have into motion. All right. That's enough of the Deborah story.
How was your week?
My week was good. It was a little slower than usual because of I had irritation in my eye. And so got what it was when I went to the doctor. There's some little pockets up under the where the eyelashes are.
Mm-hmm.
There's some teeny pocket holes up under there that lets out oil and your tears. You know, I didn't even know what that was. And the young lady said, "Now this is the difference between, you know, the X what do you call them, the X's or the Y's or whatever, that generation,
yeah.
The X generation." This little young doctor came in, and I was thinking, now, you know, what's she doing? She really just, I don't know what, we have favor in there, I'll tell you, because people just, like, when we come in, everybody just like, hey, how you doing? Da, da, da. And so she came, and she said, I saw your name, and I thought, I'm going to go down there and speak to them, and I'm going to check on her. So she's a little young doctor. She'll go into practice, I think, August of this year. So she's doing her intern. She came in and she looked in my eyes and one thing to the other. And I was telling her, she's writing some notes. And I'm thinking, and I'm just waiting on my doctor to come. What are you doing? So the Lord said, be still and listen. Just listen. You know, because I was about quick to judge. You know what I'm saying? You know, just wait on the doctor. But so she started saying, asked me what happened. And I told her, I said, you know, my eyes was running water and it puffed up. And I guess from me just kind of dabbing it and rubbing it, it turned red. And she said, oh, that's, I can't even tell you the name of it. She identified and gave me a name of what it was. And so my daughter was like, well, what is that? It was like, well, what is it? She said, well, sometimes when you're putting on makeup, if makeup get into those areas, it will clog those little sensitive areas in your eyes, and sometimes it makes it itchy, and then she said and it just it'll continue to run water. If it's plugging on one side, the other side will run water, and it'll just be teary, little irritation and stuff like that. And I said, that's exactly what happened. But I'm thinking, makeup, I haven't had on any makeup. And it dawned on me, it actually dawned on my daughter. She said, did you put on makeup when you went to the funerals Friday? I said, I did. Hadn't had makeup on in my eyes, and I don't know when. And I decided to put some makeup on my eyes on Friday before I went to the funeral. And that's when it happened when I came back. I mean, my eyes just started running water. And then for me, I don't know, it's just irritable. But anyway, not to make a long story, sad story long. So that was better news than I thought, because I didn't know exactly what it was. And so the Lord showed me, see, now, she took a piece of paper out, and she drew on a piece of paper. This is the eye, and see up here, these are the eyelashes, and up under here, that, 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 that. These are where the little secretion outlets are, and da, 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 da. And I said, only a young person would have done that.
Right.
You know, because the doctor probably would have just told me, this is what it is, something like that. But only a young person would take a piece of paper and draw it out and show me exactly what it would look at, exactly where it's at. And so I told her, I said, thank you so very much. And she said, yeah, I just wanted to see you because, you know, we love you, da, da, da. I said to myself, and I see, and the Lord was showing me, you were just about to not want her, you know, in your spirit, to you just want to wait on the doctor. When she's already a doctor, really, she's just finishing up her intern, but I'm thinking, I'm so used to my doctor. She comes in there with the doctor, but she never really examined me, you know, that much. They just kind of listen. But it was amazing that I learned that lesson. Lord said, just be still and listen. And I don't know if the doctor would have said that to me the way that she said it to me. You know what I mean? Because she's just so used to being, talking maybe in a different language or something like that. But what I learned was, don't be so quick to judge. Don't be so quick to look at the inexperience or whatever, because God uses everybody. But, you know, and then, you know, but my week was good. And then yesterday, my grandson, we had his birthday party, and that was good too. With just a little, just us, the family, and did a fish fry because he wanted a fish fry, and we did that and watched some movies, and basically that was it. Great, Grant. And here we are, Saturday morning again. It's Saturday again. It goes by quick. All right, mothers and daughters, Deborah, give us the prayer this morning. We're just talking, and let's get the prayer in.
Okay, we sure will. We thank you, Lord, for all that you've done this week. We thank you, Lord, for being God. We thank you for changing not. We thank you for being the same yesterday, today, and forever. We give you glory, give you praise for all that you're going to do, all that you did, all that you promised to do today. We thank you, Lord. Help us as you promise, and we may live, because our hope is in you. Our Father, who is in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us for our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever, forever, forever. Amen.
Amen. All right. This morning, Deborah, we our topic is the expected role of a mother.
Mm.
You know, we talk about motherhood, but there's an expectation. And a lot of times, the expectation is hidden. And that's why mothers and daughters have such conflict, because nobody's really telling what the real reason is for the miscommunication, or they don't really know what the real reason is. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
It's been there so long that you can't really put your hands on it. So that's what we're going to talk about this morning. We want to talk about what are the roles of the mother, and what are the roles that the daughter's expecting the mother to, you know, to play. And I'm going to go through and let the Holy Spirit say what he wants to say to mothers and daughters, and then I'll come back and pick you up, okay?
Okay, thank you.
All right, thank you. All right, mothers and daughters, this is the journey that we're going to take now. Well, first of all, I want to say, you know, we miss Cynthia Oliver. She's the other co-host. And, of course, we know every other Saturday she's working, and some Saturdays she can sneak away and get with us and join us, but definitely every other Saturday she's available, and we miss her when she's not here. But one thing about it, God's got Deborah and I, and he'll speak through us, and she'll get her perspective in next week, and we all are blessed. All right, we're talking about the expected role of a mother. You know, when I heard that title this morning, it just kind of sat in my mind for a while, because mothers have an expected role by each individual she encounters. Because every human being has a mother. Every human being has a mother. You can't even get on the earth without coming through a woman that is then thereafter defined as a mother, your mother, a mother, the mother of. And then the people that looking at you in that role as a mother, they have expectations or a definition of what a mother should look like, how a mother should act, what a mother should do, what a mother should say, how a mother should be. What is your definition of the role of a mother? That's the question. And if we had 10 people in a room, all 10 of those individuals would have a different interpretation of their roles, of their role of a mother. Now, why is that? Mainly because you're basing the role of a mother on your experience with your own mother. That's first and foremost. That's the mother that you know, that reared you, that said something that you didn't like, and you said, I'm going to hate her forever, or I don't like her because she likes my brother better, or she always let my sister get by with everything, or she blames me for what my sister done and treat me bad because she's mad with my sister. So therefore, my interpretation of her is this. And if you get those type of impressions as a young girl, everything that your mother does that is really pointing toward your images, you add it on. It's like a ball of yarn. It just keeps going round and round and round and round and on the side and rolling over here. And then all of a sudden, you got a big ball of yarn, enough to make a quilt or a king size California king bed. Yet it started with the tip of the yarn. It was all straight, in line, everything, color, everything in perfect alignment. And at the end of that yarn, just think about it, the incident happened. And when the incident happened, you got upset, you rolled your eyes, you murmured about your mother, you saw images of her that you didn't like. That's when the yarn started rolling up. And over the years, it just rolled and rolled and rolled and rolled and twist around. And you know how you do with the yarn. It's never in one straight. It's just over here and back over there and back over there. And you got a tangled web of yarn that you don't know how to detangle. And over the years, you don't even know what started the role of the yarn. But you do what? You know it's something deep down inside that you have not forgiven your mother for. And so therefore, in most cases, you measure everything that she does, everything that she says, how she walk, how she talk, how she eat, how she have conversations with others, what she's looking at, what she's doing. You stop measuring that and judging her. And she doesn't realize that you're doing it, but you're listening to her conversation saying, mm-hmm. See, that's not the way she talked to Miss Jones when she get to church. She's on the phone talking about Miss Jones, but when she get to church, she speaks to Miss Jones and even kiss Miss Jones on the cheek. Sound kind of Judas, doesn't it? How you doing, Miss Jones? You look so pretty today. God bless you. That's a beautiful dress, Miss Jones. Where'd you get that dress from? You're looking like a teenager. All the complimentary and sweet things that you say and doing when your daughter's looking at you going, she's such a liar. Yeah, I said that because that's what they say. When we say one thing and do another, or do something and say another. They don't tell you that. Some kids will tell you you lie, but most of them won't. They'll just keep it to themselves. But the yarn is rolling. Here she go again, pretending at church. And the minute we get in the car, she's cussing and fussing and saying all kind of things all the way home. Those 2 hours in church are the holiest 2 hours in her life for the week. And we watch her as she pretends to be the role of a godly mother, a godly woman, just and fair, forgiving, loving, caring, helping. You need anything, just give me a call, and I'll be right there. And then get in the car and say, I sure hope they don't give me no call because I don't have time for that foolishness. You see how the role of the mother is wavering back and forth. Even God says, no man gets anything from me that wavers. When you waver back and forth, to and fro, you get nothing. Because he never know probably what to give you. Because 1 minute you're over here and the next minute you're over there and your mind is here and your mind is there. You're not stable. Your role to your children, when you are going back and forth, you're not stable. You're not. And we wonder why the children talk to the mother the way that they do. It's because they disrespect them. It's because they know who you really, really are. They know you. They came out of your womb. They heard you then and now. And every day that goes by and they're in your presence, they hear something that they don't like or think that you are switching roles. So then how do you fix that, mother? You got to go to the one simple principle. Well, I'll say a couple. One is let your yay be yay and your nay be nay, meaning let your yes be yes to everybody that you say yes to. And let your no be no to everybody that you say no to. So when you say yes to someone, don't just say yes before thinking. Don't just say yes before going before the Holy Spirit and asking, should I do this? Is this something that we should do? So when you say yes, you are saying yes because you have been informed of the possibility, yes, you can do that, and it's okay. And the same when you say no. But don't say yes and then allow someone to come on and then all of a sudden you switch to no. Or no and then you switch to yes. Because once your child figure out how you switch roles and what they can do to manipulate you to switch roles, then that's what they will do. And they start doing that at a very young age. Very young age. I have a great grandson. He's 3 years old. And I noticed that. 3 years old now, smart as a whip, just smart. But he will figure out how to get you to agree with him if you're not careful. Not nasty, but he'll ask the questions. And then when you answer the question, he repeats the question. And he'll say, so what you said was so and so and so, is that right? And you say, yes. He said, oh, okay. Now, when he says, oh, okay, he's saying, okay, I got it. Okay, I got it. Now, you try to deviate from that. He will remind you. That's not what you said. My daughter and I were just talking about that yesterday. And I told her, I said, that's what I do with my mother and daughter clients or anyone that I'm teaching. I teach them to always repeat. When someone says something to you, always repeat it and say, let me make sure I understand what you're saying. Did you say so and so and so and so and so? And then they have to say yes or no. If they say yes, then you say, okay, now I understand what you're asking me. Then you answer. But if you don't ask for clarification, you may be answering to something that you assume they said. And that's where the arguments come in, because the person's going to say, that's not what I said. And you'll say, yes, that was. I heard you. You did say that. No, I did not. Can you imagine? You hear it? It goes back and forth, back and forth. And nobody wants to give up position because everybody wants to be right. But then you left out one word that changed the meaning. One word can change the meaning of a subject matter. So God has him built to the point where he would always ask again. And he calls the name. If it says Papa, he'll say, Papa, what's so and so and so? Papa tell him. And he said, oh, okay, Papa, you said so and so and so. And Papa said, yeah, that's what I said. Oh, okay then. You can't change it. He already got your name on it. He already got you to agree on it. He's already repeated it for clarification, and then he agrees on it. So he has that four-step process. If he continues that through his life, can you imagine what a great communicator he's going to be? And I said, look at God. Look at God in this three-year-old little boy. I don't think he has a clue of what he's doing. It's just God working through him, and that's his makeup. That's the way God sent him. If we all did that, if we could just stop being in your already knowing position, just assuming. A person say two words, and you're assuming they're going to say what they said the last time. And before they can get it out, you don't want to hear it. So you just cut them off at the path and decide you're going to finish the sentence when that is not what they were going to say. Two words into a sentence doesn't define the whole sentence. That's where mothers and daughters get into it. That's where any two human beings can get into it, because they don't wait. They don't wait. I was looking at Steve Harvey on the Family Feud the other night. Steve started reading the question, and he got about three words into the question. The man assumed what he was going to ask and hit the buzzer. And Steve said, you just assume you knew what I was going to say? Yeah. Okay. Go ahead and give an answer. Just wrong completely. And then when Steve waited on the X, fine, okay. Then he started reading the question again. And he went so far, and then he twisted and turned it another way. It was a whole different question. And the guy just stood there looking like egg on his face. Because he didn't wait. You got to hear the question before you can answer the question. And that's what we do. We don't get that question, and then we give an answer, and then we get angry when somebody tell you, that's not what I said, or that's not what I was going to say, and then you, yes, it was. Now you want to be defensive because what? You don't want to be wrong. So that's what happens when mothers and daughters are debating. Someone did not listen to the question, and someone did not accept the answer. So that's why it's important to have your 3-minute timer, each person with a pen and a piece of paper. If you don't want to argue with your mother or your daughter ever again, you can make a decision that we're going to start communicating. We're going to train ourselves to communicate. It doesn't take long, because once you start doing the 3-minute listening, the 3-minute answering, eventually you retrain your mind to 3 minutes, and you don't have to have the timer to do it. You'll just automatically stop in 3 minutes, because you'll train yourself over a few weeks to do that using the timer and then writing down what the question is and repeating the question to the person to make sure that you have the question correct at the time before you answer. Like, you know, you might say, Dr. B, come on now. But I got time for all of that foolishness. Got time for that when I'm trying to make a point. Yeah, you just said it. When you're trying to make a point. But you're trying to make a point like a foolish person. You don't read minds, and you're trying to make a point to an incomplete question. Now think about it. And we've all been there. You know what it feels like when someone cuts you off in the middle of your sentence. You know what it feels like when you say 2 or 3 words and somebody just take over the conversation or try to finish it. You know what it feels like when you answer a question and the person interprets it wrong because they have their already listening in place. I was dealing with a client, I think it was last week, and we were talking about how when you are communicating, people shut down. They shut down and start thinking about what am I have for dinner? Well, you know, oh my goodness, I forgot to call that person. And you just talking, explaining whatever it is that you think that you sharing with this person, and their minds have tapped out, cut you off. And at the end you say, oh, did you hear me? Yeah, girl, I heard you. Yeah. You knew that they wasn't there. You knew, and then you try to question them. Okay, then what did I say? And then they get offended. See, there you go again with that craziness. What do you mean? What did you say? I'm standing right here like I couldn't hear you. I heard every word you said. Well, what did I say? I'm not going to repeat it, but you're going to do that. You know, so they get defensive because what? They cut you off in their mind. They shut it down. Because what? They made a decision. I don't want to hear that. I don't want to hear that. I've heard that before. Not waiting to see if there's another twist to what they thought they've heard before. You could have been saying, remember I told you about so-and-so and the situation that happened? And they go, oh, here we go again. Boop, cut. Move into another conversation in their head. And then what you're saying to them is, God showed me the truth. And I made some adjustments and decided that is not what I want to do anymore. See, they missed all of that because they're already over in another world. They're over there planning their dinner. They're over there talking about what they need to do, just allowing you to just chatter, and not even get it because they assume that you're going to repeat the same thing identically like you repeated it before. I already got that. I don't even need to hear that. So let her just go on and I'll tap back in when she ends. They always come back when you say, in the last one, they come right back when you stop talking. And sometimes they try to answer as if they really did hear. And, you know, it's just amazing to me because that's what we do sometimes. You just say, oh, yeah, girl, I understand. Those kind of answers when you know you did not hear. Deceitful, hypocritical, lying. So, Mother, when we talk about our roles, those are some of the things that our daughter judges on. And those are some of the things we judge our daughters on. And you know that. That's how you judge your daughter when you have a teenager that goes out and she comes back later than expected. If you told her to come back at 11 and she gets back at 11, you don't question her as much as you do if she comes back at 12:30 or even 12 o'clock when she was supposed to be there at 11. Now, you done had an hour to build a case. So when she comes in, you're not listening to the explanation because you've already built a case. You already got your questions and the answers. Before she can answer, you're accusing her of doing something wrong. What do you mean coming here at 12 o'clock? You said 11, I said 11, and you decided she's going to come at 12, and then you come at, you will not be going out for a month. You are grounded for a month. The girl haven't said one thing. What do you have to say? Well, Mama, I was trying to get to you, but we had an accident, and we ended up at the hospital, but you didn't answer your phone. You didn't call me. Yes, ma'am, we did. Check your phone. Oh, my God, my phone was dead. You see, we don't ask the question and wait for the answer. So the role of the mother, you have to display love. You have to display grace and mercy. Because, see, God is in you. We always look at outside thinking God's outside. Grace and mercy comes from within, the God within you. Forgiveness is a role expected of a mother, a role that's inside of you. Those are the roles that we're looking for the mother to be in, a loving role, forgiving role, a mother that's in a peaceful role, gentle, kind, being in self-control, yes is yes and no is no. Treating people like you want to be treated. Being a good mother. Favor, when favor is not really due. Being wise. And understanding. And having faith in your mother or your daughter. Believe in them that they are good and that they still have the same fruits of the Spirit. That's your role. Loving others as you would love yourself. You do that and look at Proverbs 31, woman. There's no way that you will not end up in front of the Father once you receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior and have the Holy Spirit leading and guiding you, that you will not get a good report. You do your very best in those areas and look at your role. My role is to be loving, a loving mother, a mother that demonstrates peace. It will pass down to your daughter. Your daughter will pass it down to her children. It will pass down to your sons. Your son will pass it down to his children. Because we do have some daughters that are motherless daughters, that are daughters that don't have daughters. They have sons. But it doesn't really matter, because what? You're raising up the child that you had as a mother to live in a world that's unkind, a world that's evil, a world that temptation is there. But you raise them up as a godly child, a child to understand how to treat other people the way they want to be treated. We'll have a whole new world, whole new effect in our communities, starting with the home, the communities, the nation, and it will spread internationally. Can you only imagine, mothers, if you stepped in and suited up in the role of the fruits of the Spirit, grace and mercy, favor, wisdom, understanding, and faith? I think it will be pretty close to the world in which God created for Adam. That's my take on it. So we're going to go in here and get Deborah. And see what Deborah's take on it. Okay, Deborah.
Wow. I never really pondered the role of a mother more than I did these last 20, 30 minutes. I'm telling you, those mothers, my mother, everybody's mother got a responsibility like no other person on the planet.
Right.
I'm talking about being the cook, the housekeeper, resolving conflicts, taking them to the games and chauffeuring them around and taking them to the doctor. And I was looking at one of the readings said that the mothers work harder than the doctors at no pay. I mean, the doctors get big money just to see you for 5 minutes, and the mama making chicken soup and checking fevers and kissing skint knees and broken mending hearts and all of that. And I'm saying, my God, I just never really had a clue. I'm just so glad God gave me this morning so I could look at it from what my mama perspective should look like, because I don't have kids. But I'm telling you, I had no clue. And I remember a friend of mine said she didn't have any kids, and she had one, and she adopted one, and she said, girl, I don't have no time. I'm the chauffeur, the cook, the this, the that, the, and she was naming off all these things that I'm looking at, and it just really like hit me now that because we're talking about it in depth, and I'm listening to you, and I'm saying, oh my God, and imagine the people that have more than one child, how you got to get that balance in there, how you got to try to make both of them feel equal and feel loved, because you do have kids to say, that's my mama's favorite. Oh, she loved him more than she loved me, or she loved her, or she didn't do that. And they do sit and take mental notes. And they do sit and eavesdrop on your conversation. And they do watch you do what you do. And if you think about it, the kid got more time to watch the parent than the parent the kid, because the parent going to work, but the kid just sitting there. The parent doing this, but the kid just sitting there. The parent cooking, the kid just sitting there. While the parent being busy being the parent, the kid is sitting watching the parent be the parent. And so some of the things the kids are learning, God is saying, hey, I told you raise up a child in the way that he should go. And when she get old, she won't depart. If she do, she'll come back. When the world gets through, listen, when the world got through with me as a child, I was hungry and ready to get back. When it, TKO me, 13, thinking I know it all. Because mama say, be in my dog. I didn't like that rule, but there was a method to her madness. There was a method to the reason that she said, because it was a safety issue. It was a conscious concern. And sometimes those are the hardest times when kids don't get their way. They don't understand. All I heard was no. Mothers are not supposed to be yes, amen, yes, amen, yes, 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 yes. They wouldn't be a good teacher. They wouldn't be a good caretaker if they gave you everything that you asked for. Because remember, the parent done been in the world longer than the child. So they don't want some stuff whether they want to be honest about it or not. They want to tell about it, little Ray Ray, and they want to be honest about it, why they so cautious about certain things, because they done been through life, and they done experienced some stuff, or they done even seen some stuff. And so God is saying train them up. And train them up goes back to being role models, mean model the role that Christ will have us to model. Be kind, be loving. Be that one that they could come to and console in. They could come to and confide in. They could come to, you're supposed to be a nurturing, meaning you're nurturing them for the world because you're going to release them into the world. So you got them under your roof. You got them right in your face for however long. These days they don't move out at 18 no more. They stay there, they about 40. And so you might have 40 years to work with it if it takes 40 years. But God is saying that I'm asking you to be a role model to demonstrate, not always verbal, the actions that will produce godly kids, that will produce respectable kids with manners, because respect and manners will take them a long way, because you're going to always deal with other people, and you have to deal with other people in a manner where it don't bring harm on yourself. You don't get to go and cuss somebody out and think that it's just going to be okay, because whatever we plant is going to grow. So God is saying, teach them how to speak to people. Teach them how to talk. Teach them how to walk in my word, so they may live a life with less conflict, live a life with less negative energy, you know? And so God is saying, all we need is to set the example. And sometimes we don't quite set the example that God is asking us, and sometimes we plant some seeds, and when it grow, we like, ooh, where that come from? Why my child doing that? Well, like you said, she heard you talking about Sister Jones in your room, and she seen you in church kissing Sister Jones and giving her compliments about her dress, and so now she's playing that role with girls she don't like that you hear her talking about. And when she go to the school and they have the football game, you see her all with the girl that she's talking about, and you wonder, I thought she didn't like that girl. She all in that girl face being phony. Come on, somebody, where did she learn that from? Those are things that we teach without even opening our mouths. We're not talking about, I'm providing shelter. We know the basics. Shelter, food, you know, and clothing. We know the basics. You ain't going to sit out naked. You ain't going to sit out hungry. And you're not going to let her be unsheltered. You're going to let her have a roof over her head. You're going to feed her the best you can. And you're going to give her the best clothes that you can. Not saying she's going to be name brand, but if she clothes, you did good. The other part we're talking about is the mental intimacy. How do you prepare her to be a spiritual being and be loving from the heart? Because God says, I look at the heart of the matter. I want to see what's in your heart. You might not make the mark today or hit the mark today, but I know in your heart you had intention. So how do you raise a child from the heart? It's a spiritual thing. And it takes a lot of prayer, and it takes a lot of God help me walk a way that's pleasing and acceptable in your sight, because she's watching. They're watching, taking notes. You know, how do I pay my bills on time? Do I have integrity with IRS? Am I calculating and conspiring to do wrong on my taxes? You know what I'm saying? Being honest and truthful. Am I being late going on the job, clocking hours? Am I taking my lunch break and staying longer than little things of integrity, little things of being honest, and little things, am I kind to people I don't know, showing love and compassion? He says, I need you to be a person that show love. He said, because faith, hope, and love, out of the three, love conquers all. Love is the top one I want you to have. He said, because I need you to love. If you love, you'll live right. Not perfect, because you're not going to be on this side, because we already came out. We inherit the sinful nature. He said, you are sinners by inheritance. Adam, Eve did it, and everything came up, and it was a sinner. He said, but I gave you grace, and I give you grace every day, and I forgive you. Like you say, or you're going to repent, turn around from the thing, and go back the other way. Make a change of heart. It's in the heart, he says. So we supposed to teach them how to forgive from the heart by showing them. Because sometimes you can't say nothing because they think, even the kids think they know what you're going to say. Oh, mama, you always say that. And they cut mama off. And sometimes it's like, well, you didn't let me finish. Well, you say it all the time. You just assume I'm going to say, like the lady, the man on the show, assume Steve was going to say what he was going to say. And the Bible talks about that. A person that speaks before the matter is fully heard is a fool. He says, He said, hey, don't be raising no fools. Teach them how to listen. There's a time to listen. There's a time to talk. So both of us can't talk at the same time. That's why you go, and then you come and you pick me up. That way I ain't talking over you. You talking, you know, there's a time. And I just sit and I wait and I say, okay, God, I'm listening because I'm supposed to be listening, not talking. And that's how a relationship should be in families. If the mom is talking, the child is listening. The child is talking, the mom is listening. Who's to say who's supposed to talk the longest? Who's to say who, you know, no, it's supposed to be, you know, fair game. Everybody got something to say. God gave us two ears and a mouth, one mouth for a reason. Listen more and talk less. Be slow to speak. And quick to listen. And so setting these roles sometimes is not always a verbal thing, but we should have our audio match our video. We don't say one thing and walk another way. He said, walk in my word. And so how a child going to walk in the word? You ain't walking in the word. You go on Sunday, you hear the word, but you ain't making an application Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. Saturday, we back again at the church again for another lesson that we're not practicing. Or maybe we practicing it and the kids are giving it. But God has said, I'm giving you teachers, parents. I'm giving you my word. You ain't got to go Sunday to hear the word. You can read the word. He said, don't provoke the child to evil. To evil means to do wrong. And kids, don't disrespect. Honor your mother and your father. Your days may be long. There's no reason mothers should be bearing their kids. There's too much of it.
Amen.
The kids are dying before the parents. We supposed to bury our parents. We supposed to send them on heaven. Preferably, that's where they're going. And God has said, I need you to walk in a way that you're teaching my word. Because some people might not never open a Bible, might not never read a love note, might not never, ever, whatever. He said, walk in a way. When you're wrong, go to the child. I'm sorry, mama said that in a way that it didn't come out right. I didn't mean my delivery. I meant the message, but I could have said it better. Even because you're the parent, don't mean you get to scream and shout and throw things and beat them and all of that in the child. Because you're the child, don't mean that you get to get out alive because your mama, because the two wrongs don't make a right. We hear that all the time.
Amen.
So it's about learning how to forgive one another and teach some things ready them for the world so they could be an asset to the community rather than a liability. If you teach them how to steal and then lie, when they go in on their own, they're going to steal and lie. When the people get them, they're going to put them in jail.
Right.
So you teach them how to be. It's a lot. I couldn't even cover it in a few minutes, but it's a lot. But you teach them how to love one another, forgive the basics, forgive, you know, in-house. We teach them the basic stuff, cooking, cleaning, and all of that stuff we know. But how to live and how to forgive and how to love and carry them a long way. If they can love and forgive, the other stuff will be easy. So that's my summing up tape.
Oh, right. I tell you, that's good. That's good. And I know whoever listens and hear this message is blessed. But it definitely defines the role of a mother. And if you're confused, you know, I'm sending it out. We need to take the link, send the link out, the role of the mother. I think I'm going to use that today and just send it out to the social medias. And because people don't know. They don't realize the role. So this is an awakening call. All right, Deborah, thank you so very much. It was a good call. I'll be right back, okay?
Amen. Thank you.
Hold on.
You've been listening. listening to the Mother-Daughter Bonding Network with your host, Reverend Dr. Bessie Fletcher. If you'd like to make a love offering to support the show, go to AskDrBessie.com and click on the donate button and show your support. Questions? Call 347-539-5078. Make sure to tune in every Saturday at 10 a.m. for the Mother-Daughter Bonding Network with Reverend Dr. Bessie Fletcher, better known as Dr. Bessie. See you next Saturday at 10 a.m.
All right, mothers and daughters, that's our show for today. The message is the expected role of a mother. And I think Deborah and I made some points there. The Holy Spirit shared some wisdom and some understanding. And just let the word lead and guide you, and I'm telling you, you'll be amazed at what he will say to you. Thank you, Deborah. As always, it's a great show.
Amen. Thank you. Bye, audience.
All right. Bye-bye, Dr. Goodbye, audience. We'll see you next Saturday, same time, 10 o'clock. Tell your friends, always pass the show on. Goodbye.
Amen. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.